Talk Breakfast. The kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.
Very busy weekend of sporting action, both in the boxing ring and football-wise, with Tony Scott from Scotty Bet TV. Morning, Toe.
Morning, Steve. You okay?
Just having a little gander at your Twitter feed there, and I noticed the first thing you'd put on there was that incredible snooker trick shot that was performed last night. Right, talk us through this one. I mean, this is ludicrous, isn't it, for snooker fans?
How he done it? See, listen, I'm not the biggest snooker fan by any stretch of the imagination, but when I seen the shot, it looks as though it was some kind of trick shot in an exhibition match. This was against Ronnie O'Sullivan.
It's Sean Murphy, isn't it?
Yes, and it took so many deflections. The way the commentator was saying, John Virgo, when he was about to take the shot, he said, listen, he can't pull it off. And the next minute he did. It was an incredible shot. I've never seen anything like that before in my life.
I mean, it's very hard to even describe, but it's basically the cue ball's at the other end of the table. He hits it off the other end of the table and then it comes back and just glances off the red, which is right next to the middle pocket. It is stupid. Go and have a look at it. You can find it on most websites. Snooker trick shot, and Sean Murphy did it. Right, heading towards an extremely busy weekend. Let's start with Everton. I want to start with actually some odds for players that might join Everton. And I see that you feel Michael Keane could be on his way to Goodison Park this summer.
Yes, I do. I really fancy Michael Keane to be on his way to join Ronald Koeman's side in the summer. He's a player that Everton have tracked for some time. They've made it known, and I think there was a really extreme possibility of him signing in January, but Burnley made it known that they weren't selling in January. Come back to us at the end of the season where we know where we are, what division we're going to be in, and that's locks what it's coming to. He's going to cost Everton normally round about the fee of £25 to £30 million, which is unbelievable considering that Louis van Gaal sold him to Burnley, 18 months ago. He's come on leaps and bounds since, hasn't he? And Man United are one of the firm favourites, along with Everton, for the signature. Both 5-4. Everton 5-4. Manchester United are both 5-4. And then you've got Liverpool and Chelsea 9-1, 14-1. He's a very, very good player, isn't he? We've all seen him, especially Burnley this season. Burnley, they're not one to throw the towel in, especially at home at Turf Moor. So I think he's got an England cap as well. His fee's obviously going to go up. He's going to be on Everton's radar. He's going to be on Manchester United's radar. But I really fancy him to join Ronald Koeman's side in the summer of 5-4.
So he's the strongest of the links so far?
Yes, he really is. He's one. Everton aren't. They know quite well that they need to sort this defence out if they're going to make the top four next season. It's the Achilles heel. Sometimes you see in the games that Everton are winning, it's 4-2, 2-1, 3-1. They need to start keeping clean sheets, especially away from home where they haven't won since January. So this is where leading up to the West Ham match versus Everton this weekend, where Everton, they need to win to put pressure on the likes of Manchester United, Arsenal, Liverpool, etc.
OK, well, what about the game itself? I would imagine Romelu Lukaku, there aren't brilliant odds for him scoring against West Ham.
Yeah, on top scorer Lukaku was scored in his last 9 successive matches against West Ham. He absolutely loves playing against them. He's 7-2 first goal scorer and even money to score any time. Now, the bookies themselves have placed up West Ham 5-2, Everton 5-4. Now, Everton have beaten, if you're having a bet on this, bear in mind that Everton have beaten West Ham more than any other team in Premier League history. In fact, Everton have only lost once in the last 21 matches against West Ham. So, if you're a betting man and you like your bet on the football, I suspect you'd be putting Everton on your coupons this weekend.
Right, so your firm bet for that game is what?
My bet for this game, I'm looking at the injury crisis West Ham have got as well, Steve. You've got West Ham without Ogbonna, Aubameyang, Michael Antonio, Mark Noble, Andy Carroll. So the bet for me, as you like, and we've seen it in many weeks gone by, is that Everton's score in both halves is 2-1. I really like that. If you're betting on Everton to win, maybe to boost your odds even further, both teams to score and Everton to win. But I like the Everton to score in both halves at 2-1.
That's 3 p.m. on Saturday. 4:30 kickoff on Sunday is Liverpool against Crystal Palace. Jurgen said yesterday, hinted yesterday, that he thought they hadn't had their injuries, they could have been challenging for top spot. Is that a fair enough comment?
I can see where Jurgen's coming from. You look at, since Tottenham have been knocked out of Europe, they've gone on an unbeaten run and the flying, aren't they? We all know what Tottenham are like. They've had a bit of rubber to green with the injuries. I know they had Harry Kane out, but it all comes back to what happens in January for Liverpool. If they just would have added a couple more bodies in there to take care of Sadio Mane, Adam Lallana, Henderson and Coutinho when he was injured in January, you can sort it. If they just would have got one or two bodies in to see them over the line, I can see where Jurgen Klopp's coming from. And yes, there's an argument for and against it. Maybe in hindsight, it's a great thing. You will have thought should have got a little bit of a plan B in there, but it's one of them. If the targets aren't there and he's not willing to pay that extra 10 million rather than wait in the summer and make for the correct targets, then you can sort of see where he's coming from. But it's arguable for and against, but I can see where Jurgen Klopp's coming from. But leading on to Liverpool, Crystal Palace, it's interesting, isn't it? Liverpool 1-2, Crystal Palace 6.5-1. Now, Crystal Palace have beaten Liverpool at Anfield in the last two visits. But as we all know, we're coming on here every week, Steve, and I say Liverpool at Anfield are a force to be reckoned with this season. They've scored 41 home goals this season out of 16 matches. Only Spurs can better that. Liverpool at Anfield, really, really good. I think only Swansea have beaten Liverpool at Anfield in the league this season. But if you're looking for the best for me, you've got to be looking for the both teams to score and Liverpool to win again. Very similar to Everton. I think both teams going forward, great. But we know the injury crisis that both teams have got coming into this one. Liverpool without Mane, Lallana, Henderson, and there's late fitness tests to Matip, Lucas and Clavin, which Jurgen Klopp alluded to in the press conference yesterday. So, but for Crystal Palace, they're without Tompkins and Liverpool supporter Scott Dan's out. And also, Sacco is ineligible in this one as well. So I think, well, the reverse game in this season was Liverpool won this game by 4-2 at Selhurst Park. So I wouldn't go along the lines. And once more, I think it's a score and win for Liverpool again at 2-1.
And Sam Allardyce never gets a result against Liverpool. He does. I don't know what his record is, but it's pretty awful, I think.
It's awful when going back to the Bolton and Newcastle days and everything else. I fancy Liverpool to win it, but it may be just 2-1, 3-2, high-scoring game like it was at Selhurst Park this season.
Brilliant stuff. Loads of boxing on as well this weekend. So the main event is Martin Murray against Gabriel Rosado at the Echo Arena. Will you be down there, Scotty?
Yeah, no. I'll be on babysitting duty this weekend, Steve. Yeah.
You'll be making the baby watch it on Sky.
on Sky with the baby, no doubt.
Have you got some odds for him?
Sorry?
Have you got some odds for Martin Murray?
Yes, Martin Murray, 4-11 to win this one. Gabriel Rosado, 11-4. The bookies really fancy Martin Murray to win this one. Also on the card as well, Rocky Fielding. He's really, really sure price favourite to win this one as well. And also Sean Zod, he's 11-10. These are all the matches on Sky Sports, so you can all watch them. You can all have a bet on. But the main event itself, Martin Murray, 4-11. Rosado, 11-4. The bookies really fancy Martin Murray to see this one through.
A quick reflection on the PFA Team of the Year. If you had to add a bench to the PFA Team of the Year, give us a couple of players that you put on it. Would Idrissa Gueye make the subs bench for the PFA Team of the Year?
He would make the bench, Steve. It's hard to justify. I've seen a colleague of mine, James Pearce, he was calling my wife Sadio Mane. He wasn't there, but he weren't listed for the PFA Player of the Year. It's a tough one because they like the African players. They went missing for basically 5 or 6 weeks, didn't they? It's kind of hard. It's throughout the year, throughout the season when people are voting. So for me, I think Kale should have been at least on the bench. As for Quelta for Chelsea, I think he should have been on the bench at least. So there's a lot of names you could make an argument for. But
Adam Lallana?
Lallana's had a great season, but yet again, it's the injury worry with Adam Lallana. Has he played that enough games to justify a selection ahead of Eden Hazard, the likes of Dele Alli? So there's some competition you could argue for Ross Barkley as well. Ross Barkley's been brilliant for Everton this season. Early on in the season, yeah, there was a question if his future was in doubt, but there's argument for and against. I can see that, but I think when you're looking at that team on paper, it's probably justified. Maybe one or two touches to the back four, but I think going forward, you've got Harry Kane and Romelu Lukaku now. They're probably the best two centre forwards currently playing in the Premier League.
Yeah, you can't argue with those. I think the back four should have been the Spurs back four, shouldn't it? There shouldn't have been two Chelsea inductees in there.
Tottenham's defence, especially at White Hart Lane this season, I think they've conceded 11 goals all season. Unbelievable. I really enjoyed watching Tottenham. I think Tottenham are the best team in the Premier League. Yet they're 4 points behind Chelsea, but I really like them. I enjoy watching them. Dele Alli floating behind the lines, and you've got Harry Kane up front. I really enjoy watching them. I just think it's a shame if Tottenham wouldn't have been in Europa League this season. I think they would have been a lot closer to Chelsea. You've seen what has happened to Chelsea without European football this season. They're 4 points clear. I just think if there was another month to go in the Premier League season, I'd fancy Tottenham to catch Chelsea. I just think they're running out of games.
Just before you came on, we were re-listening to the interview with Robert Elston, and he was talking about the giant step of going from a seventh place team, if you like, into that top echelon. Spurs themselves, have they made the jump to be considered, or will they by next season to be considered amongst the top two, three? Because I don't think anyone would have predicted them to be where they are now.
No, I think that's down to the manager, Steve Pochettino, top coaches, and you enjoy watching his teams. Off the pitch, they're getting it right, the merchandise, the sponsorship, and also the new stadium being built as we speak. So I think Tottenham are going to be in the top four for the next 10 years. You really fancy them to be a force in the Premier League and in Europe. The players they've got, you just think to yourself, how much would the likes of Harry Kane go for? Dele Alli, the two centre-halves. They've got quality all over the pitch. But what I do like about them, Steve, is that they've got a full squad. Now, if I look at squads, I think Chelsea have got a really good squad, but I look at the overall 24, 25 players. I think Tottenham have got a cracking squad. I think Jurgen Klopp and Ronald Koeman have alluded to it this week especially, that the players they've been training with, sometimes the 16, 17 players that they can only train with because of the injury crisis, whereas in Tottenham, they're training with 22, 23 quality players each week. And it tells, for example, Ronald Koeman alluded to in the press conference yesterday, Jonjo Kenny, for example, he's training with the first team all week and he's playing for the under-23s tonight. And then he's in the squad for West Ham on Saturday. Incredible, really. That's the shortage of numbers that Everton have got. And Liverpool, likewise, with so many youngsters on the bench this season, you can see why Tottenham are fighting for the title and Everton, Liverpool, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th. You can see that's the reasons why Everton and Liverpool will need to desperately spend in the summer with European football on the horizon.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall on Radio City Talk.